make your day count. We're going to make all day count this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the
day
that the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad in it by choice.
Yes, by choice. So, beloved, I know some of our people are driving right now on their way to work. And some of you are just getting up and you're going to go grab a cup of coffee. And we're going to sit together and figure out with God how to make our day count this morning. How to be productive today. We're going to live a what kind of life today?
A productive life. Yes. As we make our day count, we make our life work.
Yeah.
This is the 4-year anniversary of Make Life Work. And in honor of that, we would like to sew 200 copies of the book Make Life Work into the Prison Book Project. If you are able to partner with us to do that, the books are $10 each, so we're looking to raise $2,000, which would pay for 200 books to be sewn into the lives of people who access the Prison Book Project. If you are able to do that, please send a check to Make Life Work, P.O. Box 56, Cocoa, Florida, 329. So check payable to Make Life Work and send it to P.O. Box 56, Cocoa, Florida, 32923. And your seed will be put with other people's seed. And we are hoping to raise 200 copies of the book to go to the Prison Book Project. And this will be the second time that Pastor donated copies of the book to the Prison Book Project in a large quantity like this. And when those books are read, when they are in the hands of people, they make an impact. And they've received letters back, praise reports, testimonies, and thankfulness for these principles, for hearing, learning, and now knowing these principles to be able to make their life work.
Because we are called to make our life work. And in the book, we have the principles for anyone who is successful or is about to be successful or those who have failed. Because the tagline in this book is make life work in a fast-paced world. We're living in a fast-paced world, turning failures into success. Because God has given us the ability to be successful. So, like I say, all of us have a success button in us because God built us to succeed.
Because he made us in his image.
He made us.
And God is successful.
And God is successful. So we have his success. You know who is mad about when we, the believers, come on the year and talk about success? You know who is mad? The devil.
Yes.
Some religious people listening. Oh, I don't hear that this morning. I want to hear going to heaven.
But we're on earth until then.
Yes.
And we must occupy until he comes.
You're the key here. He had already planned heaven for us. Jesus says, I never worry about heaven.
Yeah.
Because why? Jesus says, I go to what?
Prepare
a place for you.
Yes.
That where I am, you may be also. And if this wasn't the truth, I wouldn't have told you.
Yes.
I love what Jesus talk. Jesus says, man, I'm not going to. This is the truth.
Yes.
Because if it wasn't the truth, I have no reason to say it. So I just relax with that, Pastor Di. Jesus is taking care of my future home.
Yes.
Heaven. But now, this is my present home. Think about it. Jesus says, your future home is my responsibility. Your future home is my what?
Responsibility.
But That's your good. Present home is your responsibility.
That's good. He's building our home in heaven, and he wants us establishing his
kingdom
in the earth.
Come on.
That's good. That's good. He's building it for us in heaven.
Yeah.
While we here are on the earth establishing and building his
kingdom. Kingdom, yeah.
That's awesome. That's an awesome revelation.
Yeah.
As Jesus is building, he's preparing the place for us in heaven. We here on earth are to be building and preparing the place to establish his covenant here in the earth realm, and to be a demonstration of
his
power and his love, to lift him up, to draw others onto him. So as he is working on our behalf, we are here working on his behalf.
Yeah.
That's an awesome revelation.
Watch this. What did God say to Satan? Have you considered my
servant
Job?
Yes.
Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth realm.
Mm.
God wanted to say to the devil this morning, put your name there. Have you considered my servant Mary? Have you considered my servant Pastor Beckford?
Yes.
Have you considered my servant Diane Robinson?
Yes.
God wanted to say that to the devil. There's none like them.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Don't get me all started up here and fired up. Big success. Because God put the success button in all of us.
Yes. So this morning we're in chapter 8, Think Success, and we are talking about the 7 principles of success. So yesterday we started with principle number 1, have faith in God. And I just want to continue with that principle, and then we'll jump into principle 2 this morning.
Yeah.
So under number 1, have faith in God, will be in the second paragraph if you have the book and you're following along in the center of the second paragraph. The reason nothing is impossible with God is because he has no limits.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, human beings are limited by their own minds. This is why Jesus told his disciples how to break the limitation of the human mind.
Yes.
Have faith in God.
Yeah.
For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, good or bad. So watch what you say. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. So that's from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24.
Yeah, and I love that. Whatever, whatsoever, whatsoever you say, you will have whatsoever you say. As a man thinketh,
so he is.
So he is. And what we think, most naturally, is what we're going to do.
And God can't reverse his principles.
No.
So we want to know, well, why am I in this defeated position? Well, you're thinking defeated. You're speaking defeated.
Yeah.
God cannot reverse his principles.
No.
So if he says, you shall have whatsoever
you say,
if he says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, and you're using it for negative, negative. That's what you have. You have whatsoever
you are saying.
So the next point goes right into that point number 2 or principle number 2. Remember that prayer changes your thinking. Prayer shifts your focus.
Oh, come on.
When you are praying, you're shifting your focus. We have to come out of these religious ceremonial prayers. Shifts our focus.
Yes.
You know, I sometimes hear people pray and for 10 minutes straight, they're just repenting, going over all their sins. Well, what are they meditating on? All of
their sins.
Prayer is for us to shift our focus onto God and onto the solution. Do we need to repent? Yes. Do we need to go over a checklist every time we come to before God of everything that we've ever done wrong from the time we were born up to the present time?
Yes.
No. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. So we don't need to keep repenting over and over again for the same things. Because once you ask for forgiveness, the Bible says that it goes as far as the east is from the west. God is not remembering your transgressions. That is the devil that is bringing your transgressions before you. And every time you set to pray, every time you set to commune with God, the devil is telling you then, go back and go over every sin that you ever did.
Yeah.
And you're wasting your prayer time. Do we need to repent? Yes. Does refreshing come in his presence? Yes. But you don't need to spend the first 10, 15 minutes of your 16-minute prayer only talking about the negative. Prayer is to shift our focus where we are acknowledging who God is. We are coming into his presence to receive, to hear from him to hear from heaven so that we are then able to operate in another way. Prayer is also meant to change our language.
Yes.
When we're praying, we're speaking the language of God. We're not praying a prayer of defeat. We're not praying prayer of worry. We are changing our language. We're confessing the word of God. I am well able.
Yes.
I have the peace of God that surpasses understanding. We're changing our language. We're not saying, I'm so confused. I'm so confused. I'm so confused. No, we are saying, I have the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes.
The Bible says that if any man lacks wisdom, in James chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him come to God who gives to us liberally. So if you're having an area in your life that you need wisdom, you come to him, you ask for wisdom. Lord, give me light in this area. Give me wisdom in this area.
Yes.
We're not, our prayer time is not a pity party time. It's not a time to have our pity party. Our prayer time is a time of empowerment where we shift our focus, where we change our language. And in prayer, we're asking. We're asking God for the divine strategy. So then when we come out of our prayer closet, we're able to seek. Seek is doing what God told us to do in the time of asking, in the time of prayer. And our knocking component is when we've seeked, we've done what he said to do, and then we're in position to walk through the door. So let's not be deceived. You do not ask, seek, and knock all in prayer.
Right.
You ask in prayer.
Yes.
God is going to give you the strategy, something to actually do in the earth realm. He's going to give you the strategy, something to do. You do that, and in the doing of the work of the word, you will be blessed. The Bible says that he who does the work of the word, that one will be blessed in what he does.
He does.
So in the doing, now you're in position to knock. So when you're knocking, knock, knock, you're announcing, I am in position, and the door is being opened for you. So prayer is not a pity party. Prayer is a time for us to shift our focus. It's a time to change our language, and it's a time to ask and receive the strategic plan from God to move.
Amen. That's so powerful. And I want to support that strong point that you make on prayer. At the conclusion of Jesus' life, Pastor Diane, you see, Jesus never throughout his life prayer of reputation.
Mm.
Are going over stuff.
Yeah.
But at the point when he knew he was going back to the Father, he says, he's praying. This is how Jesus prayed. Jesus says, my Father, glorify your Son. Mm-hmm. He says, my hour has come. My hour has come. Now, I need the approval that I have done what you have asked me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, now glorify your Son. And now he goes through a list. He says, all that you have given unto me, I have kept.
Yes.
What you have told me, and check that Jesus' life. As he knew he was going to the cross, he says, my hour has come. Mm-hmm. It's finished here on earth for me. My job here is concluded. So, you know, that's real. So we need to pray prayers that really meaningful.
Yes.
Yeah. So today, just don't pray prayer of reputation.
Mm.
Do the things that real. Go ahead as we close.
Yes, we got to go. The clock is ticking, but make your day count.
Help.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIP.
This is Morning Breath, your drive time devotion sure to jumpstart your day, brought to you by East Coast Christian Center. Morning Breath starts now. You're listening to the Friday edition of Morning Breath, a special message recorded live at East Coast Christian Center.
Well, RSVP, this is a series that was born in Pastor Matt's heart, and I'm so excited about the part I get to play in it tonight. You notice we have a few things up front and on the front on the sides, and this is going to be room for you to respond in our service to what God has